Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
The U.S. men's hockey team is in the Olympic quarterfinals against Switzerland this afternoon. Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks scored one goal for Team USA in the preliminary round. The Canadian team, with Blackhawks Jonathan Taves, Duncan Keith, and Brent Seabrook, plays Russia in the quarterfinals tonight. The Chicago Bulls are back at the United Center tonight against the Indiana Pacers. And Illinois has kept itself in the battle at the top of the Big Ten standings with a 51-44 victory at Michigan. The Fighting Illini are 18-0 overall, 10-5 in conference play. That's sports.
When we were at the Sweet Corn Festival, we brought health and wellness to the community. Everybody knows exercise is good for them, but if we can make it easier for people to be active, then they're more likely to do it. The goal of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is to get the community well and keep the community healthy. We had been involved with WILL with the Healthy Habits program, but beyond that, we were kind of doing things separately in terms of, you know, educating the community, encouraging the community to do physical activity and learn about nutrition and change their eating habits. WILL initiated the process and invited everybody to the table. My name is Nikki Hillier. I'm with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, and WILL is my source for keeping Champaign-Urbana families healthy.
We might think it's virtuous to buy things that are environmentally friendly. Recycled paper saves trees, natural cleaners cause less pollution. But new research finds that when we're good, we sometimes use that to excuse being bad. Julie Grant reports.
Nina Mazar wants more people to buy green products. She's a marketing professor at the University of Toronto Business School, and she thinks people should spend money on things that aren't harmful to the environment. But Mazar had some concerns. Research in other areas shows that if people do one thing they defined as moral or virtuous, say helping others or being politically correct, they are more likely to transgress in other areas. Mazar wanted to see if the same was true for buying green products.
In our society, it seems at least that green consumption is being moralized. And we thought, well, if it's being moralized, maybe it actually can have some negative effects.
And that's the key. If we moralize one behavior, Mazar says, we're more likely later to do something negative. So first they did a survey and found that, yes, people believe that consumers who buy environmentally friendly and organic products are more likely to be ethical, cooperative, and altruistic. Then they tested it. They gave money to two groups of college students. One group was asked to buy products in a regular grocery store, the other in a store with mostly green products. Afterwards, Mazar and her team set up a computer game. The students could see how much money they were making as they played, and they could easily cheat. When the game was over, they were told to take the amount they'd won out of an envelope.
And what we found was that people who purchased in the green store as opposed to the conventional store cheated more on that particular subsequent task. And they actually also took out more money out of the envelope than they were supposed to. So not only did they cheat, they actually also stole money from us.
If students were totally accurate, they could have won $2.07. But those who'd purchased green products went home with $2.90 in their pockets. Mazar says this finding about green consumption fits right in with a theory called moral regulation or licensing.
Whenever we engage in a virtuous behavior, whenever we have done a good deed, we get a boost in our moral self-worth, which will license us further down the road to transgress.
This has been studied for years in the opposite direction. People who do something bad subsequently do good things to cleanse themselves. But researcher Sonia Sachdeva says a lot of new evidence is coming in that moral cleansing works both ways. She's a PhD student at Northwestern University and says she noticed this in herself when she started taking the bus to school.
And at first, when I would take the bus, it took forever, and I just wasn't used to it. But the fact that I thought I was doing this really good thing made me feel more licensed.
Sachdeva says each person has different things that make them feel this way. Everyone in the green consumption study was a college student. Sachdeva says they might not be used to buying green products, so they get a boost of self-worth when they do. And then they might feel morally licensed to transgress, to cheat or steal. But she says people who buy green and organic products all the time might not get that same boost of self-worth, and so they might not have the backslide. In the same way, her attitude toward riding the bus has changed.
But over time now, over the past couple of years, when I've been taking the bus regularly, I no longer get that same kind of warm glow feeling because I'm used to it and my reference point has changed.
The researchers say there is something practical we can learn from this. If we want people to be more environmentally friendly, the message should not be that this will make us better, more virtuous people, but it's simply what we should do. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Attention, Alice in Wonderland fans. The Orpheum Children's Museum in Champaign is preparing for two separate but related events to benefit the museum. The first is set for this Saturday afternoon at Jim Gould's restaurant. It's a tea party. How fun is that? I suspect that there will be characters from Alice in Wonderland in attendance. The second is a production called Alice and Me in Wonderland. This event will allow museum goers to follow Alice into her adventures in Wonderland. There will be three opportunities to follow Alice and her encounters with the denizens of Wonderland. They are Friday, March 5th from 5:30 to 8 p.m., Saturday, March 6th from 9 a.m. until noon, and Sunday, March 7th from 9 to noon. Three guests join me in the studio today to tell us more about these events. They are Janine Perlman. She teaches in the Human Anatomy Lab at Parkland College, and she sits on the board of the Orpheum Children's Museum. Kelly Warner is a scientist, a hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Society. She plays a starring role in Alice. She's playing the Queen of Hearts. And Deborah Israel is also with us this afternoon. She's the museum's director of operations, and she's producing Alice and Me in Wonderland. Welcome to the three of you. So good to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, Deb, first of all, tell us about the museum and its mission.
Well, the mission of the museum is to provide community outreach, a place where children in the community can come and get a hands-on, discovery-based introduction to science and develop a lifelong appreciation.
Yeah. And you're located downtown?
We are at 346 North Neal Street in Champaign.
Okay. Now, the first event that I mentioned is coming up this Saturday at Jim Gould's. When will tea be served? What's on the menu?
Oh, I can speak to that one.
Okay, Janine.
We're going to be having a fashion show for children ages, well, actually infant through age 6 with Bella Bambini. And that's going to start promptly at 1 because we want to get through that before nap time ensues. And tea, a high tea with a complete high tea service, Jim Gould does a lovely job with that, will be served approximately beginning at 1 once all the guests are seated, and the characters will mingle, do a meet and greet, and there will also be an opportunity for families to take photos.
Okay, well, will all the characters be there? Who will be there?
The Queen will definitely be there. She will be running her court while everyone is there. And oh,
of course.
The next day, the Queen has lots in store.
Alice will be there. The White Rabbit will be there. The Mad Hatter will be there. There'll be an assortment.
Okay. Well, who do you hope will attend the tea party?
Well, you know, it's all ages, so it could be parents with their children. It could be grandma and grandpa bringing the kids. I know that a lot of the models' parents and siblings and grandparents are coming as well, or just adults who love Alice in Wonderland, and want to enjoy a high tea. It's for everybody. It's all ages.
Come for tea. I would imagine that reservations are suggested.
Yes. Anybody who would like to reserve a ticket can call Jim Gould's at 531-1177 to reserve a ticket.
Okay, very good. Then the big event comes up 1 week from this Friday. The curtain goes up on Alice and Me in Wonderland. Now, from what I understand, this production is interactive. So Kelly Warner, tell us how it works.
Well, as the queen, I will definitely make sure that all participants come to the court. And let me tell you, Alice will guide you through an amazing trip. And when she gets to the queen's court, there will be, well, the court has painted white flowers. Everybody will have a chance to paint the flower red. It's amazing how the paper turns to red with a little water. Additionally, you'll be able to follow the rabbit, go down the rabbit hole in a long slide. You'll get to see the caterpillar in its many forms. Additionally, you get to drink a little liquid and shrink as you go through the door in Alice's Wonderland. And then finally, as you come into the Queen's Court, you'll get to see Tweedledee and Tweedledum doing a little jousting and get a chance yourself to maybe even do a little jousting. Everybody will get to come through, but make sure you get to play croquet with the Queen. We'll use flamingos and hedgehogs and play croquet.
Maybe I better practice.
You better practice.
But I think the Queen is quite the player.
Nobody beats the Queen.
Is there a script for this production? Or is it just kind of, you know, as Kelly has done here, you know, just kind of off the cuff?
There are, for instance, in the Mad Tea Party, there will be a little bit of the dialogue from Lewis Carroll. One of the activities will be staging of The Walrus and the Carpenter. And in that, we'll have volunteers from the audience come, and we'll dress them up, and they can be the oysters. And that'll be the whole recitation of the entire poem. And that'll be done several times during the day.
Okay. Now, I would imagine that this has involved a lot of work in terms of setting things up in the museum and the costumes. And Janine was wearing a hat earlier that's just wonderful. Tell us about the process of creating the sets and the costumes.
Well, we got a lot of help from the community. I think we have probably an incomplete list would be more than 40 people and organizations that have supported it. We have 13 primary sponsors: Busey Bank, Carl Foundation, CarX. I guess I should go through them all. Shambana Moms, Champagne Telephone, Davis Electric, Davis Hoke, Dodds Company, Irwin Martinkus Cole, the iHotel, MTD, O'Brien Auto Park, and Springfield Electric all have given substantial cash donations so that we could do the costuming. We're building a slide that'll take people down the rabbit hole from the mezzanine to the first floor. We're transforming the entire auditorium into a wonderland that'll include the croquet field and the garden with the roses to be painted. That's where the set for the stage for The Walrus and the Carpenter will be. There'll be a big action inflatable jousting ring that Tweedledee and Tweedledum will entertain people with. So okay. There's been quite a lot of set building.
Yeah. Is it appropriate for all ages?
Well,
except probably for little kids.
Not for tiny ones. For people that are big enough to go down a slide.
Okay.
Anyone that's big enough to go down a slide.
I'm taking my granddaughter, and she's 22 months. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. So I think stuff about two-ish.
You could hold her.
I'm going to hold her, and I'm going to enjoy it, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It'll be basically, the first part will be structured sort of like a haunted house, only nothing haunted about it.
Nothing scary. Except maybe the queen.
The queen is lovable. But.
So the first nine activities are set in the museum themselves, and people will go through from activity to activity. The last three are in the auditorium, and there people can stay and play for the duration. So it can run from anywhere from about 20 minutes to as long as
so it's not a commitment for, what is it, 2.5 hours. You can make it what you want.
We'll have different groups of 10 leaving about every 10 minutes, sort of like you would do with a haunted house. Then once they get into the auditorium, they're free to run around and play, and we'll have some snacks and all the activities there.
And if you don't want to go down the slide, is there a way around?
There is a way around that.
Okay.
But I can't imagine that you wouldn't.
I think I'd like to go down the slide. So I would imagine now your hope would be to have people make reservations for Alice and Me in Wonderland.
As a matter of fact, they can do that on our website, which is orpheumkids.com. There's a link from the main page to the Alice event where you can just buy tickets online, and they're sold in half-hour increments.
Okay. And in addition to Kelly Warner, who else is in the cast? Will we recognize some people from community theater?
You'll recognize a few people from community theater, a lot of people from the Orpheum and just you know, interested participants.
Natalie Ellis and Class Act have a lot of the people in it, the White Rabbit and the Caterpillar and Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So, yeah, there are a lot of people involved. Brian Hagee, he's also involved in local community theater. Phil Strang, the Walrus.
Okay, very good. Well, there we will leave it. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alice in Wonderland fans, the Orpheum Children's Museum in Champaign preparing for two separate but related events to benefit the museum. The first is set for this Saturday afternoon at Jim Gold's restaurant. It's a tea party. It runs from 1 to 3 this Saturday afternoon. Reservations are suggested. Call the restaurant at 531-1177. And then the second event is a production called Alice and Me in Wonderland. This event will allow us to follow Alice into her adventures in Wonderland. There will be three opportunities to follow her and her encounters with the denizens of Wonderland. Friday, March 5th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Saturday, March 6th from 9 a.m. until noon. Sunday, March 7th from 9 until noon. And the reservation situation at the Orpheum, go online to www.orpheumkids.com. The museum's telephone number is 352-5895. And my thanks this afternoon to Kelly Warner, Deborah Israel, and Janine Perlman. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Earth and Sky.
Today, groundwater depletion and how it's affecting global food production. Earth Sky spoke at a recent science meeting to Jay Famlietti, director of the University of California's Center for Hydrologic Modeling. He said he's been using GRACE, a satellite that can trace the movement of water below ground.
For the first time, we've been able to see the ups and downs in water storage all over the planet.
Dr. Famlietti said that locally, he's discovered that California's Central Valley has lost alarming rates of groundwater. He attributes this mostly to drought.
There's not as much rainfall, so there's not as much groundwater recharge. Global change is having an impact, so we're not getting the snowpack that we used to get.
Famlietti said the impact is so significant because California is an important agricultural center.
The Central Valley is responsible for about 25% of the food that is consumed in the United States. Without a sustainable source of water, it will be difficult to continue to grow food at the rates at which we've been growing it.
Famlietti said he's found evidence of increasingly parched ground all over the world. For example, he explained that water tables are dropping significantly across northern India, one of the world's most intensely irrigated regions. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Programs on WIL.